Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The growth of modern photography coincided with the settlement of the Western frontier. Historical photographs provide a fascinating and sometimes haunting view of the Old West. In a pair of new books, Bill Fush author John English illustrates the history of the Black Hills and the American cowboy through classic photos. English has written for woodworking magazines. His work has appeared in dozens of woodshop and how-to books. Last year, he published his first novel, Murder on the Missouri. He also has a new book of short stories. It's called Waves. John English joins us on the line. And John, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Carl.
Well, where did you get the idea to put together these two books of historical photographs, The Black Hills and The Cowboy Story?
I've got a friend on the main street over here, Robert Clemens. He's in Belle Fouche. He's got a gallery, and he spends a lot of his time blowing up old photographs and framing them for ranches and bars and restaurants and so on. And he kind of turned me on to this vast resource that was sitting there, so we started taking a look at all the photographs that are available, and being from Ireland, I'm pretty interested in history, so the two things just seemed to go well together.
Was that a tough job to select the photographs that are featured in these two books?
Yeah. It's kid in a candy shop sort of thing. There are thousands and thousands of images out there, and selecting the ones that tell the story, it can be a little daunting.
So how did you overcome that? Obviously, there must have been some that you had to leave out that you really wanted to include.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a new book right now, and one of the images is an image of a lynching in the West, and it's a very graphic image of a man hanging from a telephone pole. And I've asked about six or seven different people whether they think it should be included in the book or not. It's beyond taste. It's, you want a child opening the book up and seeing this in there. You know, there are a lot of facets to adding things. The other side of the coin is there's a great amount of joy in adding some photographs. In the cowboy book, we have a Roy Rogers and Dale Evans image, which was given to us by Roy Rogers Jr., who I happened to meet through email and telephone calls, and what a nice guy. And he's singing songs, his dad's songs down in Branson. So he got included. and then another image that we included was for Wiedemann Beer, which was a beer that was around in the 1860s, and they used a cowboy drinking beer as one of their logos. And the beer went away for a while, and then in 2012, a couple, John and Betty Newbury, they bought the brewery in Newport, Kentucky, and they're back in production. And so we got to add their photographs, the old advertising photographs, into. So it's very subjective.
I'm wondering if you find some of these old photographs rather haunting, because you're looking at things that happened 100, oh, in this case, more than 100 years ago in many of these Black Hills photos. Particularly, I'm thinking of maybe the images of the Native American people. This is a point when the life as they knew it was quickly coming to an end.
Yeah, one of the most devastating things for anybody looking at the manifest destiny thing is to see what happened to Native populations. And when you look at all these photographs, and a lot of them are from the 1870s and 1880s, and they were taking days after an event, they can be really, really heart-wrenching. It's beyond politics. This is just humanity and what people can do to each other. And it's disturbing is about the only way to say it. But at the same time, you have to tell the story, and if you don't tell the story, it'll be repeated. That's the one of the functions of historians.
What do you think these vintage photographs, these historical photographs, add to our understanding of that story?
They give it some gray. They stop it being black and white. If you're a Native American, you have a certain view of the 19th century. If you're the grandson of somebody who settled on a ranch out here, you have a different view. And both of those are relatively polarized views. They're both correct, and they're both incorrect. And looking at these photographs and possibly appreciating a little bit of the other side of the story can temper the way that we look back, and hopefully it'll temper the way we look forward.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with John English. He's out with a couple of new books featuring historical photographs. There's the Cowboy Story, A History in Photographs, and The Black Hills, A History in Photographs. In looking at these photos, how much room is there for, even in these photographs, for interpretation, particularly regarding that many of these are posed photographs?
Mm-hmm. Actually, most of them are not posed. Most of them are current photographs. They're sort of candid photography. But what you're asking is, it actually brings up another point. We have Photoshop nowadays, mm-hmm. and we can take these images and we can change them a little bit and add things and take things out and that can affect the message too. There's a long argument in television and movies about the widescreen and how when they crop the edges off the widescreen, how it changes the picture and the story being told by the picture. And the same can be true of these images. When you actually even just take the sepia out and reduce the image to black and white, which is what we have to do for production, just taking that sepia out takes some of the some of the character out of the photographs. It makes them less historic somehow when they're just plain black and white. So that's one thing. The other thing is that we usually have to play a little bit with sharpness and brightness and other textural things so that people can see what's in the image, because a lot of them have faded over the years. So we're trying to revert back to what they were 100, 150 years ago. And that technical imposition can affect the way that people see the images. Not a great deal, but enough so that there's a subtle difference.
I'm wondering what it took for the photographers back then, 100, 150 years ago, to take these pictures. Mm-hmm. It was a much more difficult and complex process than today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Of course, they could use daylight for most of the bigger shots, but anything that was in any kind of marginal light at all was very, very difficult. Long exposures, people moved, flashes weren't exactly technically evolved. There was a lot going on just from the technical side of it. But far more interesting is what these guys went through. They would pack a mule, and they would load it up with everything they owned and take off into the hills and go find gold miners or go find Native Americans or go find new ranchers breaking sod somewhere. And they went out there with no protection and no guns and no posse with them. They took on the world. They must have been incredibly courageous people.
And who were these guys in particular? Can you name any of a couple of photographers that they're featuring?
Yeah, one of the most seen ones in the Black Hills is a fellow called John Grable, and he was based in Colorado first and ended up here right about the time that the massacre happened and a little bit after that. And Grable registered a lot of his photographs with the Copyright Office, so that's why we still have them. Thankfully, he had a little prescience there. He could see what was going to happen. In the back of each of these books, we do list the photographers. We give a biography of them, usually a photograph of the guy. And a lot of them are going to be familiar to a lot of readers, like Edward Curtis is a famous Indian photographer. He photographed Native Americans all across America. And he worked for, I think, about 15 years on the Giant Encyclopedia of Native Culture. Unfortunately, most of his images were posed. And a lot of them were posed well after the fact. He would pose an 1870 scene 10 years later sort of thing. So there's debate about how authentic he is. But, John Anderson is in there. David Barry, famous New Yorker who came out to Yankton and did a lot of photography. There's a pretty good Orlando Scott Goff. Arthur Rothstein was with the WPA during the 30s. In fact, the building that we operate out of is a WPA project. It's the old City Hall building up in Belle Fouche. And it was built in 36, 37 by the WPA. And the relief organization sent photographers out all across the country to document rural life and how people were handling the Dust Bowl, the Depression, the 30s. So we have a lot to be thankful for. There were a lot of guys out there doing this.
And it wasn't particularly easy work, not like today. You just put up a photo and just snap it on your phone.
Well, yeah. Of course, the quality was a lot better, too. A 7 or 8 or 10-inch plate is a lot better than what an iPhone can take.
Well, John English, I'm wondering if, and when you put these books together, The Cowboy Story and The Black Hills, if there anything that you learned that you didn't know before?
Lots. An amazing amount. There's a lot of innovation out here. People found ways to figure out problems, whether it was mining or ranching or railroads or whatever it was. And not just in the hills here, but one of the most fascinating things to me was there's a railroad going up to Pikes Peak, and it has to go up a very steep incline. And the rails are notched, and the wheels are notched. And the front wheels are smaller than the back wheels, so the train can go up the incline, and things like that just constantly surprise you when you start digging.
That must be the fun aspect of putting together books like this, to just that thrill of discovery and learning things new.
Yeah, mostly it's the people, though. I mean, we had the Black Hills is a very, very small geographical area. It's you can drive it in a couple of hours, and to think that we had Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse and Custer and Wild Bill Hickok and all these characters here all within a 10 or 15 year period. It's fascinating what happened here in such a small area.
When you're putting these books together, did you have a particular audience in mind?
No. What we do, and in fact we're continuing to do other books for other regions, but what we do is we collect photographs, we categorize them, we put them together in ways that form chapters, whether it's chronological or subject matter, and we let the photographs tell us the story, and then we research what's in the photographs and do the text afterwards. We don't start with the story and try and find photographs to fit it. We get the photographs first and then write the text to explain what's happening in the photographs.
And it sounds like you have you've got some other regional books coming out similar to these in the future.
We're working on several other topics, and we'll tell you about them as they come out.
Okay, and we only have about a minute left here, but just a quick mention that you do have the collection of short stories Waves that has just come out, or just came out a few months ago anyway, and this is. This captures everything from stories from the Black Hills and then going back to your home, Ireland.
Yeah, my wife says you can't shut me off. I just keep talking about everything.
So we've got the short stories. It sounds like you still write the woodworking, still do that stuff as well?
Still doing a lot of woodworking, yep. Working on a dining room table at the moment.
Right.
And I've got a new book coming out on harvesting your own lumber from publisher in California in the next month or so as well.
All right. Well,
Well,
John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us again on Dakota Midday.
Well, thanks for having me back.
That's John English of Belle Fouche. He's the author of a pair of new historical books of photographs, The Cowboy Story and The Black Hills. Also mentioned, he's the author of a new collection of short stories called Waves. For more information on these books and some other ones, you can go to bhsw.org, bhsw.org. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Stephen Zwempke is the producer. We had assistance from Jackie Hendry. Coming up tomorrow, Kara Hetland will host Dakota Midday. That's at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next.